Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. This show was created as a safe space and to show that there is hope after going through difficulties, no matter what type, no matter what suffering. I'm trying to use testimonies to that effect and inviting professionals and speakers that can help with suggestions. As a survivor, I hope to inspire others, encourage transparency, and find strength in knowing that those who suffer are not alone, and that those that heal against insurmountable odds do exist. Last week, we were talking about mental illness and addiction. Today, I want to continue talking about that and add alternative approaches for help. I want to provide different viewpoints as well. I do believe it's healthy to get to know different viewpoints. What happens when medication, tell me, when medication is not enough? What happens when it's not working or you need something else? Could something else, non-traditional, help? So today's guest is Dr. Gustavo Roldan. In a little while, Dr. Anne Marie Wong might be joining us. They work at MedVerde Clinic in Miami. Dr. Gustavo Roldan is a psychologist that has worked with kids and adolescents and adults for more than 30 years. He has experience with traditional psychology methods and alternative approaches, such as using THC products. Dr. Roldan, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're joined here by Amy Cabo and Boris.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to have you. Dr. Roldan, you advocate for a holistic approach to mental health. It's known that marijuana and magic mushrooms are controversial. Now, can you tell us how marijuana can be helpful in patients with PTSD and depression or other medical conditions? Because last week we had someone that said it was bad for developing brains.
Okay, obviously the state of Florida and the many 32 other states have approved marijuana as a treatment mode for various different conditions. But you know, I'm not going to disagree with your prior guest. There are some effects that are negative when you use marijuana. And just like anything, Amy, if you're using something that is not as prescribed, then you're going to have difficulties with it. And marijuana now is a medicine. And just like any other medicine, if it's not used under the guidance of a professional and at the right time, at the right dose, there can be some effects that are negative. To start with, I mean, you have a lot of children who start experimenting with cannabis at an early age. And we know as the brain develops, cannabis, marijuana is something that can, again, affect that brain as it develops. But what we advocate is for the treatment of patients through medical professionals who can implement a treatment plan and follow through with the different dosages and the effects of the product as they're using it.
So basically, it's outweighing the cost versus the benefit. Obviously, if you're a teenager or you have a developing brain, you don't want to smoke marijuana.
Plus, it's illegal.
And also, you don't want to drink alcohol. I mean, anything can have damaging effects, even medication. And I think it's important.
Exactly.
It's important that it's monitored, that it's not anything that you do to an extreme is not good.
Sure. So, and don't get me wrong, Amy. There are patients, and we do have adolescent and patients as young as one. I mean, marijuana has been prescribed to children who have epilepsy, seizures, Tourette's, So this is something that can help a child, but as you said, Amy, you're exactly right. We have to benefit have to weigh the benefits of it as opposed to the developing brain. So, I mean, do we want a child who has epilepsy, who's having seizures 7, 8, up to 20 times a day? Or if we can help them with cannabis to alleviate those seizures, then, you know, that's a benefit that outweighs the negative effects in the future. Go ahead.
No, so just to confirm, because I was under the impression that it's illegal marijuana under 21. Or you're talking not the smoking, maybe the other forms of
I think he's talking prescription.
No, right.
As medicine.
Like a solution.
Right. So right now in the state of Florida, you can, as underage, you know, there's no age that you have to adhere to on the basal age. So any child can be prescribed marijuana as long as whereas as an adult, you only need one doctor's recommendation. For a child, you need two doctors to confer and concur that this is a treatment that will benefit the child.
Okay, so, I did not know
you
that.
You can have a child, yeah.
That's new to me because I've never heard of a child being given alcohol. So there's something there to be said there.
Right, but again, the benefits of marijuana have been proven with studies. Where alcohol, you know, there's no proof that can be beneficial for a medical condition. Where marijuana has been gone through a lot of different research that shows that it's beneficial to several different conditions.
But, I mean, if you're looking at the cost, what really is the cost? I mean, I guess if you have a predisposition for a mental illness, I've heard that it can be bad for that, but what is the cost? A little bit slow, you feel a little bit more relaxed, and you know what? It's temporary. It fades. It goes away. I know this because I've done it. I've smoked marijuana, and I'll tell you what, they say marijuana is a gateway to other drugs, more dangerous, hard drugs like cocaine and heroin and ecstasy and everything else that alters your mind. Even alcohol alters your mind. But you know what? Marijuana is what got me to stop all that because it was enough. It relaxed me. And I realized I did not have to go to the extreme. I did not have to be out of my mind where my mind is altered. I wanted something where I was still in control. I still knew what was going on, but it would just take the edge off. It would take the tension away, the being on the, you know, the bad feeling away. And that's how it helped me. And I do have a prescription. There's people that have prescriptions, and that's okay. And there's people that might think differently of me or think something more. But the truth is, you don't know what works for someone. And that's why I like to bring on different viewpoints.
Sure. And that's, you know, talking about mental disorders, I mean, there's already a stigmatization of people with mental disorders. So you throw on that the cannabis use, and people are reluctant to discuss, and I appreciate your candidness with this. I mean, if a person has that stigmatization of a mental disorder and you throw on top the cannabis use, you're going to be reluctant to discuss it with your provider for being denied treatment or people who may be labeled as a substance abuser or in need of rehab. When an open discussion between the mental health professional and your primary physicians is something that we're trying to educate the public on. And that's definitely, and I really appreciate this opportunity because that's something that we really have to get out there is the education and the knowledge that this is a medical treatment alternative, as you started off with, alternative medical treatment for various different conditions. On the mental health, there's research that shows that this can help people with depression, OCD, Tourette's, we're talking about bipolar. For mental health, there's a lot of great benefits, as well as the other physical benefits. But that's something that we have to get out there is education and research. And unfortunately, right now, because of the federal ban on the Controlled Substance Act of 1970, has labeled marijuana as a Schedule One, which is along with heroin. And Schedule One basically says that there is no medical benefit from this drug, where now we know there is. So that's something we're working on, is to change that, get it rescheduled. But because of that, it's very difficult to do any kind of research and studies on it. So, you know, that's something that we have to get more knowledge about the herbal cannabis and the endocannabinoid system, which is something that it works off of, and we can talk about that later. But studying and education is needed to get the word out that this is a viable option for many people.
Now, there is also another study that has been done for more than 50,000 people that were adolescents. Yeah, I think it's somewhere in Europe, Sweden, that in 15 years they were followed and there was significantly increased development of schizophrenia. So I guess you really need to be careful and outweighing the risk and the benefits on each prescription. Well, like every other medicine.
Well, how much marijuana were they smoking?
I don't know. Yeah, right.
Also, did they give you that information?
Well, plus now the more it gets legalized, the more studies will be able to be done. And then more research will come in, obviously, because up to now it was restricted, as you said, Schedule One.
Well, it's restricted because of the stigma. And I understand where there could be a stigma, because my sister, who's a retired detective, she was very against it. And it took a while where she realized I had to talk to her. And I told her, do you remember when I would drink all night long until the next day? And you would, those days are gone. And this is just something that relaxes me every once in a while. And she understood. And I think it's important not to think of somebody in a different way because of it.
Right.
Because you don't know what works for that person. You don't know what that person's going through. And the best thing we can do is be understanding and try to help them in whichever way we can. And if we've discovered that something that, even though it has a bad reputation, can do good and it can be beneficial, then I say, you know, let's do it. Why not? We should all go. Let's get rid of the stigma. We're always learning. We're always discovering new things. I mean, what we thought in the past was wrong, now we think it's good, and we're always discovering.
And there is that, Boris, there is that studies that are out there. But recently, and again, I would go back to how recent, and, you know, what was the population, how was it? Because, I mean, there are studies that show that, and they're being used now, that marijuana is being used to treat symptoms of schizophrenia. Of course, it has to be under the control of a physician, and it's comparable to those of treatments with approved antipsychotic medications. And Amy pointed out, when psychosis comes about because of THC use, we really have to look at the dosages that are being used. In the amount of THC that's being consumed. And there's a huge difference in the amount of THC in the marijuana that's being consumed today than it was back in the 70s and the 60s.
Now it's more or now it's less?
Oh, it's 5-10 times more than it used to be. We're talking 20-23% THC in a bud, where back in the 60s you're talking 5 or 6%. And the other thing that we don't know yet, Boris, is the psychosis happening, or that paranoia that people get from marijuana, is that happening because of the THC, or is it because of all the chemicals,
right?
The herbicides, the
or
pesticides?
Predisposition to have schizophrenia, maybe?
Right. There could be a predisposition, because we know that, you know, now we know that there's a gene that we can test for, but nonetheless, the amount of chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, synthetic fertilizers, the way that it's grown, the way that it's dried, if you have all those chemicals still in the flower, well, obviously when you consume that and you put heat to it, You're exacerbating the effects of that. And so we don't know if it's those chemicals that are causing all this, or is it the THC?
Right.
And again, going back to, we need to do more research. We need to have the ability to be able to go into a clinical trials and to do this research.
Well, only know that even though it's controversial and there's different opinions and different data and everything, I know from personal experience, everybody's different. Somebody can smoke marijuana and they have a totally different reaction. So it is very individual. But I know that it's not damaging. I know that it helps me. And I know firsthand, not something that I'm reading or somebody's professional opinion. How professional is it if you haven't done it? Kind of thing.
The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com.
If you suffer from persistent depression, call Neurosciences Medical Clinic to schedule a free consultation for new effective FDA-approved treatments such as intranasal ketamine or NeuroStar TMS, a no-medication treatment. Neurosciences Medical Clinic. Call now, 786-600-7005. Neurosciences Medical Clinic, 786-600-7005, 786-600-7005.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If this is your first time tuning in, today we're joined by Dr. Gustavo Roldan, and we're talking about how to live with mental illness and alternative approaches for help. You can listen to us every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on your radio, or on amycabo.com, or later on a podcast. Now, Dr. Gus, I have to tell you, you've given so much information that I didn't even know. All I know is that marijuana just made me a little relaxed, and it took the bad feeling away. And that was good enough for me. But there's other approaches to alternative approaches, and that's being talked about a lot these days, and they're psychedelics. And I'm talking about magic mushrooms, or what you call, I guess, hallucinogenic mushrooms. And is this something that you feel, or do you know that if this is something that is helpful with patients?
Sure. And that's something, again, there's a lot of alternative medicine out there that's been used for 3,000 years. I mean, that we're starting to call alternative, but it was mainstream back then. And if you talk to doctors who've been using these treatments throughout the years, they'll tell you that, well, what we're doing today is alternative to what is natural, what is holistic. Mm-hmm. And yes, mushrooms, even LSD, the when it first started, was to treat patients, to help patients to come out of some mental issues. And it's something that, again, used correctly, used under the guidance of a professional, used in the right dosage, then it can be beneficial. It's something that is not new. It's been used for a long time. But just like Amy, just like any pill, you can take your Prozacs, your Xanax, your Adderalls, and you can abuse those, and people are abusing them. Your opiates. We have an opiate crisis in this country. This is a good drug. I have nothing against OxyContin. I have nothing against Vicodins or Percocets. I think they're great. You know, when I tore my rotator cuff, I had surgery. It was beneficial for me to be able to sleep so that I can recover. But it's when we get into the abuse, and going to your point with the hallucinogenics, if it's abused, then it can cause more problems than the benefits that we're looking to get from it.
Well, from what I know, there is no abuse potential with the Heselogenic, and I can speak from firsthand experience because when I was writing my book, I went through my little thing, and I did ketamine infusions, and that's a Heselogenic, and I'll explain it. When you start to go under, it's very, very small amount of anesthesia. And when you start to go under, it's that moment where you feel a little bit good. You feel like everything's okay and you're being actually held or hugged. Your body feels heavy but light at the same time. And you feel like you're moving, like you're going on a ride, but you're still. And you're aware of the fact that you're still. Now, if you have a little bit of imagination, you can see things. Once I saw an angel fall across. I ride in my ride. I go up very, very, very high. Sometimes I see water. Sometimes I see desert, blue sky. Sometimes it's light. Sometimes it's dark. But it gives me the idea that there's a bigger picture, that it's not just about me and my problems, that there's bigger things and there's more to it. And it wasn't addictive because I only needed like 3 or 4 sessions or 5 sessions. But the thing is that you get to a point where you don't want to go to that extreme and you feel well enough where you don't need it. And so I didn't find it to be addictive because it's hard to do something that puts you that way, that has that much effect on your mind regularly.
Sure. And I... Just to clarify, I didn't say that the mushrooms are, you are going to get addicted, which you can. And what, you know, we can talk about that at a different show, addiction and what that entails. But what I said was we can abuse these type of substances. You mentioned ketamine. And, you know, ketamine is an FDA-approved anesthetic, and it's used for surgery and for other diagnostic procedures. But it's also being used to treat depression, suicidal thoughts, PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, other mood disorders, and nerve-related pain. And it's a great treatment, again, if it's used in the context of medical professionals and the right dosage for the right person. Now, that also, with that said, there's a nickname for ketamine, and that's Special K.
And when it's misused.
right. It's a popular club.
So it's like you go to your doctor and you go, can I have some Special K, please?
Yeah.
there you go.
which is a great cereal, by the way. But right. The Special K, you know, when it's abused in those contexts, then, and there's a difference between abuse and addiction.
Right.
I agree with you. The ketamine is a great, great FDA-approved anesthetic that can be used for several mental health disorders, like depression and post-traumatic stress disorder and other mood disorders.
Well, we
are. I'm sorry. And unlike other antidepressants, which can take weeks or even longer to take effect, ketamine starts working, as you pointed out, within a few hours. And then if you're talking to someone who has suicidal thoughts,
session,
you can wait 2 weeks. Exactly.
No, right. In one session.
Right.
In one session, they're not suicidal anymore.
Correct. I was comparing to the other traditional medication. You need to wait two weeks to start working.
Exactly.
Some people don't have that time.
Right.
Some people don't have that time. And, you know, and as a mental health professional, you know, I've seen patients, unfortunately, who have come in needing something, and you know, a week later, they're the psychiatrist or prescribed an antidepressant, and a week later, you know, they've suicided, you know, and had they done something like this, maybe it would have been a different result.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing to these alternative approaches. If you go to a psychiatrist, which is what I recommend, if you're in a bad place and you take medication, that medication is not going to make you feel better. It's just going to keep you from feeling very bad. But these alternative approaches gives you a break. It makes you feel good for a little while. And you're like, okay, there is happiness in this world. It's okay. You don't know what works for people. And it can sometimes be a combination of things. therapy, medication, alternative approach. Sometimes it takes a whole village. Some people do suffer a whole lot. And these things are very important.
Well, yeah, also fluoxetine is going into the mainstream now. There is a FDA-approved medication for depression, which is an intranasal form of ketamine. It's called esketamine, Spravato.
Instead of an infusion.
Right. So, yeah, these things are obviously starting to be more and more used.
Right, and that Spravato, the nasal spray, that, again, is something that is used under the supervision of a healthcare setting. And you know, you can't take this medicine home, but you can reap the benefits of it with somebody who is trained and can give you the right dosage and the right treatment.
Yep.
Now, I just thought about something because I like to think about things. Now, these alternative approaches of medicine that, you know, the mushrooms and the marijuana, it's used to help patients that maybe traditional ways aren't working or it's not enough. Now, I've never seen it being done with alcohol, and that's legal. Alcohol.
Yeah.
They never use that to help people.
Well, because it doesn't. It's actually, it is a depressant.
But the truth is, there's a lot of people that suffer, and some people know it better than others, and that's why it's important just to be supportive for people and just be there for one another. There's someone, we're going on to break really quick, but I just want to let you know, there's someone who knows a little bit more about this.
If you suffer from persistent depression, call Neurosciences Medical Clinic to schedule a free consultation for new effective FDA-approved treatments such as intranasal ketamine or NeuroStar TMS, a no-medication treatment. Neurosciences Medical Clinic. Call now, 786-600-7005. Neurosciences Medical Clinic, 786-600-7005, 786-600-7005.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We are live every Friday at 2 p.m. or on amycabo.com. Our callback number is 305-541-2350. Please call if you have anything that you'd like to share.
I have a question here from Alexa. She posted a question in Facebook. Is the mushrooms legal in Florida? I don't think it is legal. Gustavo, do you know?
For treatment, it's not right now. But again, marijuana federally is not legal. There are ways to get treated, but to answer the question, no.
Now, here's the thing, a point that I thought about. This song that I just played, Halsey, this girl really knows pain. And if you listen to the words, she's saying, keep a record of the wreckage in my life. Gotta recognize the weapon in my mind. So you see that this person knows suffering and has suffered before. So why would you not want to help a person like that? And we have to acknowledge that we don't have all the answers and we don't know everything. And sometimes it's you live and you learn. If it is helping people and we are getting results that it's helping people. And just an example, alcohol doesn't help people. And if this is happening, then we should accept it. We should be there for one another. Don't you think? I mean, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the state of Florida and 32 other states have approved it as a medical use. So we know it's being helpful. And we at our clinic at Medverde, we're there to treat patients who are in need, like you said, who are suffering.
In a bad place, yes.
In a bad place. And some of the cannabis that we're using, some of the marijuana that we're using, are being used in clinical trials We actually have approved an IND, an investigative new drug from the FDA, to do research with patients who are oncology patients or cancer patients who are using opiates to reduce the pain that they're feeling. And for everybody out there who knows, when you're in a lot of pain, it alters the way you think. It alters your mood. It alters your whole perspective on life. Mm-hmm. So right now we're treating oncology patients, cancer patients, with cannabis, with marijuana, to reduce the amount of opiates that they're taking. And they're
observing
real
in their
benefit.
System. Nice.
Yes.
So
yes.
It does have other benefits as well. It's almost like the right to try. Hey, try it. If it works, go for it. I don't.
Sure.
I'm not against that at all. And I didn't even know that it was used in such beneficial ways for people with really serious illnesses like cancer. And I didn't know that. Go ahead.
If you don't mind, in the state of Florida, there are approved indications. And right now, if there's cancer, there's epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS,
PTSD
right, ALS, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, and MS.
Wow.
So those are the ones that are approved by the state of Florida. Then there's a catch-all that says medical conditions of the same kind or class are comparable to those that I just mentioned. And the NFL is actually looking, we've heard a lot, and there's the movies about CTE and traumatic brain injuries.
Okay.
The NFL is now looking into the use of marijuana for concussions.
Really? Because my daughter has a very traumatic brain injury.
Right, and so now they're looking into that, to the use of marijuana to treat traumatic brain injuries.
Nice. I didn't know that was even a use for it. I had no clue.
Well, wait until tomorrow. They'll put 10 more, right?
It's just a matter of time. I don't know whose idea was it to make marijuana as strong as heroin, but it's just a matter of time before they realize that if it's not done in an extreme, that magic mushrooms could work. And we know that ketamine infusion is working. It's psychedelic mm-hmm. just as well. But there is even more treatments. There's acupuncture. There's what?
Transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Transcranial magnetic stimulation. Do you want to talk
sure.
to us about that?
Sure. This is actually an FDA-approved therapy with special equipment, special machine that provides stimulation of the brain on certain spots. Stimulating this area is like a resetting the area that is in control of the depression and stimulating it to work normally, like reverting it back to normal.
The way that you explained it to me is that it cleans it up.
There you go.
You know, it just refreshes your brain and your neurons and things like that. And I did notice a difference. I knew.
Oh, you tried that too? Oh, you're right. You did try.
Yes. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I saw your neuron on the other side. It was on the right. I was on the left. No?
Yeah.
No, it's just a joke.
Sure. And it is, again, TMS or transcranial magnetic stimulation, it's something that can because when we have these depressions and there's a difference between situational and clinical depression, but when we have this depression that a clinical depressor chronically, we know that there's an underactivity or overactivity of the brain, and what the TMS does is to reset that. If it's underactive, it gets it to go back to what it's supposed to be, and if it's overreactive, it slows it down.
Thank you.
Well,
you're explaining so much more professionally.
We have it, but you know, when we have something like that, we have to try it first, make sure it's safe. And I'm everybody's favorite guinea pig.
Well, this actually, the transcranial magnetic stimulation has been available for long, many years.
What was it in the old times?
Electroconvulsive therapy. What do you call it?
With electricity,
ECT,
right?
ECT. Yeah, electroconvulsive.
Well, so this is in place of that, which is less invasive.
It still stays there, yes, but it's reserved for very, very severe patients with depression.
Well,
though probably could have been cured with ketamine now or something else.
Well,
not so invasive.
Can't.
What, TMS?
Can't transcranial magnetic stimulation do the same thing. Yep. But people have to understand there's no, it's not invasive.
Right.
It's just a magnet that's put on the top of the side of your head, and it just, it gives pulsations. It just pulsates
mm-hmm.
for like 10 seconds, and then it stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulsates for 10 seconds, and then it stops. And you need, I think...
For 19 minutes in a session, and you might need 30 to 36 sessions.
Right. And what are the results? Have you...
The results are very good, very positive. We've read a lot of studies that show that patients improve. And the good thing is that you don't need to take medication in many cases. So you don't have the side effects of the medication.
They say they can improve. They can be well for 2 years without any medication.
Right.
It's longer lasting than the ketamine infusion.
Right.
Definitely.
Everybody is different, but yes.
Yeah, and I think what's important to point out with these treatments that we've discussed, you know, when we talked about the TMS, the Spravato, the ketamine, you know, that these are some, and the cannabis, the marijuana, these sometimes are the last resort that people take because... Uh-huh. Before you start these treatments, the FDA is saying that this is a treatment-resistant program.
Alternatives,
Right. So what they're saying is that you've tried other drugs. You've tried other pharmaceuticals.
Medicine, all kinds of medicines and therapy and everything. Yes.
Well, it should be actually in the opposite, but yeah, now it's like that.
Right. And so what we want this to be is a first line.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want it to be the last treatment that people try before.
Yeah.
I've tried everything and I've suffered all these years.
Well, you're fighting with a big industry, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is not very happy with these methods.
Right, because we want to be the first line. We don't want to be a second and third. It's, you know, you can only use this because it's treatment resistant and nothing else has worked.
Well, yes. Then I have a curious question because I can be curious sometimes. So if these alternative approaches, I know that they can have side effects and things like that, but how about medications that we need to take? What side effects are stronger, the ones from the alternative approaches or the ones from actual medications prescribed?
Well, I think, and I want to be clear that, you know, sometimes even marijuana, even though, and you've mentioned alcohol several times, and we're talking about pharmaceuticals now, even though, you know, we say that this is a great medicine, no one's ever overdosed from marijuana. There's no overdosing with marijuana. You know, the person cannot die from taking too much marijuana.
Maybe eat a lot and fall asleep.
Right, the person's gonna eat a lot and fall asleep. But in terms of the alcohol and the other pharmaceuticals, we know there's so much overdosing happening.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you know, that's something that, you know, with these other alternatives, there might be, you know, there might be some nausea, there might be a little bit of headache, but you've got to look at the overall benefit of what you're taking. But in terms of overdosing, it's not going to happen.
And the point that I was trying to make is that some of these medications are difficult to take because of the side effects, the things that you have to deal with. They're very uncomfortable side effects, and a lot of people even avoid taking medications because of that. And you're not going to get those side effects from marijuana. And a psychedelic, you're not really going to get side effects. It's temporary. When it wears off, it wears off. You're maybe a little tired. So that's why I think Boris was saying this should be the first line of treatment rather than the last resort.
Right. And we know for a fact, because there's a study of 44,000 people that said there was a 55% decrease in the opiate use when they were using marijuana. We know in the states that have approved it, the amount of opiates that are being prescribed has gone down 25%.
Wow.
And again, the ERs are being alleviated.
Nice.
There's people who are not having to suffer anymore because of these opiates.
I'll tell you what, it got me to stop drinking. I was a big drinker. If I went out with my friends, I didn't know how to drink one or two drinks. I would drink all night long and sometimes into the morning. I was doing things to an extreme. It's hard to do marijuana to an extreme. You fall asleep.
But yeah. Again, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Marijuana, there are, we now know, there's something called cannabinoid hyperkinesis, and there is, if a person builds up too much THC in their system, again, let me rephrase that. We don't know if it's a THC or the chemicals that are in that marijuana they're consuming.
Okay.
But cannabinoid hypermesis is when a person starts vomiting or feels abdominal pain. This is after a heavy, large-term use. They can start developing this condition that now we've described. But again, we don't know if it's the chemicals that are in there, but there are physical ramifications of a person who has heavy long-term use. So what we recommend to those people is, and it resolves very easily, stop smoking or stop consuming marijuana for 7 to 10 days, and it resolves. But we also recommend people take a tolerance break, what we're calling now TBs or tolerance breaks, because it rejuvenates the effects of the cannabis. Unlike some other drugs, once you build up a tolerance, you're not able to
start
bring it back down. Right. Where with marijuana, because of our endocannabinoid system, something endo meaning endogenous, and cannabinoids, this is the molecules that are being produced within our bodies, and marijuana is a phytocannabinoid, meaning from the plant. So it's something that's natural for us to consume because we make it ourselves. And some of the research is starting to show that the reason we're getting a lot of these ailments and these sicknesses is because we have a deficiency in endocannabinoids. Just like when we have an iron deficiency or a B12 deficiency or a vitamin C deficiency, there's ailments or sicknesses that will prosper because of that. We're finding now that with endocannabinoids, it's the same thing.
And I guess it's individual, these illnesses and sicknesses, because I remember at one point I was smoking, let's say, 8 really, really fat, like Bob Marley blunts. And I saw that it was bad because I wasn't being productive. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't get, I guess it's individualistic. Anyhow, it was great having you, Gus. Thank you. You're a world of information. I love your ideas and your viewpoints. And till the next time, guys, we come to the end of the show again. A big thank you for everyone that's been listening. And thank you, Roldan, for being on the show, Dr. Roldan. For more information on Dr. Roldan, it can be found on amycabo.com. Under guests. This has been The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. Thanks for listening.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com.
If you suffer from persistent depression, call Neurosciences Medical Clinic to schedule a free consultation for new effective FDA-approved treatments such as intranasal ketamine or NeuroStar TMS, a no-medication treatment. Neurosciences Medical Clinic. Call now, 786-600-7005. Neurosciences Medical Clinic, 786-600-7005, 786-600-7005.
The Cure with Amy Cabo was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo right here on 880 The Biz.